darkness. Can you picture complete darkness? In Genesis 1, it tells us darkness covered the surface of the deep.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
Years later, when Jesus was on the cross, in Luke it tells us it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I commit my spirit."
When he had said this, he breathed his last.
Our offering this morning is for CrossNet Ministries. It's a local ministry that brings light to dark places in the community here. So, invite the ushers to collect the offering during our first song.
Light of the world, is the path into darkness.
Let us pray. So, Father, we just come to you. We ask you this morning just to help us be humble. We heard about Daniel this morning in Sunday school. And help us be humble like Daniel was with you, that we can respect the people around us. It's not easy these days to respect everyone, but help us love our neighbor as you tell us to. Help us live the way you show us. The things you want us to be doing. That doesn't necessarily mean we can't learn new languages or we can't do things of the way people are doing them, but you show us, you tell us in your word exactly how we can live to have a good life. Not that we have to separate from all, but show us, guide us, direct us, Father. Help each one of us give our life to you and be that living sacrifice that Paul speaks of. Guide us in your ways, Father. We pray this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
light. Can people experience light even in a nation filled with darkness?
Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness spreads over Egypt, darkness that can be felt.
So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or even move about for 3 days.
Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived.
In this world there is darkness, yet where Jesus is, there is light.
Just invite you to stand to sing Shine Jesus Shine.
Psalm 18:28. My God turns my darkness into light. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him,
Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Who are you, Lord?
I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.
Ephesians 5, 8, and 9 says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light.
So aimless, life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light,
I saw the light,
I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night.
Christ is at the other end, and all you have to do is follow that road right to the end, and you'll meet Christ. But there's all these things along the side that open the doors and say, hey, that's kind of a boring walk, isn't it? Why don't you just come join us over here? Might slow down your journey, might distract you, you might even get on a detour. But this next song is probably new to many of you. But it tells about what it's like to have your mind fixed on the end of the picture, the light that is there on that day.
In this house we've built of make-believe, loved ones go long before, seems it's time to leave. We will learn how to grieve, to forgive and receive, till we see them there in that city. Span of stars overhead as we walk this road, while this darkness remains, I will bear your love, and together we will tend the seed he's sown as we walk along the road to that city. See what is waiting there, though my mind.
So when these things distract us, turn us aside, when we're stuck in a detour, that we catch a glimpse again of your face and your light in that city, and we can be restored thanks to your awesome power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I'd like to invite the children forward for our children's message. I know a lot of them are at the mountains right now. And there's a few in the sound booth back there. Well, good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? So this morning, we're going to look at some people in the Bible and how God called them to what he wanted them to do. You know, if you guys are outside playing and someone opens the door and yells, "It's time to come eat," and you listen and you go run in, right? Sometimes, maybe not. No, you just ignore it and stand outside. But we're going to look at some people in the Bible and how God was giving them instruction, and he does the same thing for us. So, you guys remember Samuel in the Bible, right? So what was he doing when God spoke to him? Do you guys remember? Can you think what he was doing? No? He was sleeping, right? Samuel was sleeping as a young boy, and he was supposed to help the priest. And so he got woken up numerous times thinking the priest was calling his name, but it was God. God was speaking to him. And on the fourth time that this happened, Samuel responded to God's call and said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." How about Moses? How did God call Moses? Moses kind of climbed up the mountain. He saw something. It was a bush. And it was on fire, right? Yeah? They're thinking. So God called Moses to go rescue the people of Israel through a burning bush. How about Daniel? What did God do for Daniel? Some of this was also when he was sleeping. Yes, God protected Daniel by sending an angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. That's one thing that God did for him. But how did God also, call Daniel? What did he do? He gave him dreams and visions of the future, right? He showed him what was to come. See, God calls each one of us in many different ways. Just like many different characters in the Bible, there's many different ways that God speaks to us. Some people hear God's actual voice. Sometimes it's through amazing events. Sometimes it's actually through dreams and stuff like that. I've had several dreams and that it was God speaking to me and showing me things. So just remember that God is calling each one of us, and he wants us to answer his call by asking Jesus into our hearts as our Savior, and then after that, what God calls us to for the rest of our lives. You guys have been good listeners this morning. You guys can grab two or three snacks, whatever you want out of there, and you can head back to your seats. You guys have been good listeners. Oh, wait, I forgot to pray for you guys. I have it on my paper. So you can just stand right there, and I'll pray for you guys, and then you can head back to your seats. Will you join me in prayer? God, just thank you for these children, and I just pray that they will hear your call, that you will speak clearly to them, and that they will invite Jesus into their hearts, and that they will hear your call throughout the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now you can go back to your seats.
Well, greetings in the name of Jesus, the light that we sang about this morning. And again, welcome to Bowmanville this morning. So there's a big hole up front here because the youth and most of the young adults are away at Camp Deer Park this weekend, cutting firewood. They'll be traveling home today, so I'd just like to have a word of prayer for them before we get into the message today. Also, Alice Martin has been dealing with a lot of health issues, and she was just tested positive for COVID. And so that's just one more thing on top of everything else that she's experiencing. And so she asked if we would pause and have a word of prayer for her this morning also. So I would like to do that also. So would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you that you are a God who cares about us, all the details of our lives. We thank you for the youth and young adults of this congregation and that they've had an opportunity to go serve you and cut firewood for the Camp Deer Park. We ask that as they're gathering this morning to worship you, you would be present with them. As a result of their being together this weekend, that they would grow closer to you and also develop fellowship and relationships among each other as well. And now, Lord, we just lift up our sister Alice to you today. God, she's faced so many things in the last several years. And as I texted with her, she shared how she's feeling defeated. So I want to pray right now in the powerful and the strong name of Jesus Christ that you would surround her with your presence. I pray against the spirit of discouragement. I pray against that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father God, that you would minister to her through your Holy Spirit. Speak words of peace. Speak words of encouragement. I pray also for Earl. I lift him up to your throne of grace as well and ask, Father God, you surround them with your presence. And we ask for healing. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, that you would touch her physical body. Bring relief from all the pain she's experiencing because of the pinched nerve in her neck. And also pray that you protect her, give her health as she's been tested positive for COVID. Just surround her and Earl today with your presence and with your deep peace. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, in case you're worshiping with us this morning, I'd just like to help you and everyone else here today understand what is happening today. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." So I believe this includes also a season and a time for me serving as lead pastor here at Bowmanville Mennonite Church. There's a time to serve, and there's a time to retire from serving as lead pastor. So you may wonder, why am I presenting this timeline today? So I'd love to try and answer that question. What you may not realize is that I've served as youth pastor, associate pastor, and lead pastor here at Bowmanville since 1994. One of the things that I've learned along the way is that people can adapt and handle change. What they have a more difficult time doing is handling surprises. So I don't want you to be surprised by my retirement when it happens down the road. I hope to give you plenty of time this morning as we take this journey together. I've also observed several pastors that I respect very deeply that they presented timelines to their congregations, and it appears it has made the transition of leadership a bit smoother. I've also experienced several surprise resignations of pastors serving this congregation. So I know firsthand how difficult surprises can be. And I'm praying that this leadership transition can bring some healing to you, the congregation, from the pain and the hurt that has occurred from sudden resignations that we've experienced. Now, please understand that you have ample opportunity to share questions, comments, concerns, and counsel concerning this transition. Also, please understand that this timeline is not set in stone, as I believe there'll probably be some tweaks to it along the way. And I present this, Lord willing. So, possible timeline, this is also in your bulletins. This timeline is printed in your bulletins also. But I just want to have it on the screen for you to see as well. You need to understand that these following steps that I'm going to present now have already been completed. So this timeline, retired Bishop Carl Snesick helped me to develop this timeline. So in the summer of 2018, introduced the idea to Tony of him stepping into the lead pastor role in the future and allow time for Tony and Teresa to prayerfully consider that opportunity. See, I meet regularly with Tony for breakfast. And as we were meeting, I began to hear him talking about how restless he was becoming in his spirit. It's time for a change. And I began remembering back in the early 2000s when I worked at Conestoga Wood Specialties, and I felt that same restlessness, that same need for a change. So I found it really interesting. It caught my attention when Tony began sharing those things with me. So that's why I shared that with him. And him and Teresa processed that at that time. Winter, spring of 2019, if Tony and Teresa are on board and they responded, felt like that was God speaking and calling them to step into that role. Introduced the idea to the pastoral team for their consideration and input. That happened in the winter, spring of 2019. Fall of 2020, I was on sabbatical from September through November. And if you remember, I said I'm going to go on sabbatical so I can return and be refreshed and renewed so I can finish strong. And I think I even mentioned so that I could finish strong and head towards retirement at that point. And some of you approached me and were a little concerned about that. So I want to put you at ease. But during my sabbatical, I must tell you that in my spirit, it was reinforced that this is the right thing to do. This is the right step to take. So I felt a peace and a calmness about that. December of 2020, I returned from sabbatical, refreshed and renewed, ready to finish strong. Late winter, early spring of 2021, we introduced the timeline to the church council for their consideration and input. That has taken place. So the proposed path forward, fall of 2021, today, introduced this timeline to you, the congregation. And I want you all to be clear. This is contingent upon your approval, the congregation's approval. So moving forward, the proposed timeline would be November of 2022, almost a year from now. Tony and I would switch roles. Tony would step into full-time lead pastor, and I would step into the associate pastor role. I'd be 65 years old, and I would find some part-time employment. And right now, it looks like that wouldn't be too hard to do because there's help wanted signs everywhere I go. Then in the spring of 2023, the congregation begins a search for an associate pastor, and that search will be led by our bishop, Eric Marshall. Then in March of 2024, I'll be 66 and a half years old and retire completely from the pastoral role. So that is the proposed timeline moving forward. So March of 2024 is several years down the road. So this is going to be a process that we'll journey through. And the idea is so that you can be informed of what's happening. There'll be no surprises, so you can be relaxed. No need to get anxious about what's taking place. Okay? So this time I'd like to invite Eric to come and share the message. God bless you.
Well, that's exciting what Larry has laid out here. And I've been able to hear this plan for some time. So it's exciting, and I think as a congregation, you can be excited about that. But I think as a congregation, there's probably also some concerns and fears. You know, what does this look like? How will this look in the future? And I've been encouraged as I've seen this plan and heard how it's developed over time, how it parallels something from Scripture that I see in the Old Testament. And that's this change in leadership, change in ministry, when it came to Elijah and Elisha. And if you'll turn with me this morning to 1 Kings 19, chapter 19, we'll take a look, chapter 19, verse 19, we'll take a closer look at this. And before we start reading in verse 19, I just want to back up a little bit and introduce this section of Scripture. Elijah, he had been in ministry for some time and was feeling like, hey, nothing is happening here in ministry. I'm trying and nobody seems to be hearing the word of the Lord. So he winds up in a cave. And he's asking, God, show me yourself, reveal yourself. And of course we know, you know, the wind comes, the storm comes. And it was only in that still small voice that Elijah could hear the Lord. And I just find it so interesting how many times we who are in ministry wind up in caves. We get discouraged. Things aren't going our way. Things aren't happening the way they ought to happen. God, why when I teach Sunday school, why doesn't anyone respond? Or God, you know, I've been doing this particular task in the church and it just goes unnoticed. God, I preach a message and people go home and nothing happens in their lives. And each person who is in ministry, we find ourselves at times in that cave having a pity party, saying, oh God, why? Why isn't anything happening here? And I find it interesting what God says to Elijah. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you in this cave? Feeling bad for yourself. Why are you here? And so Elijah was given a task. I need you to go anoint three different people. Go back the way you came. And go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Now, I find this interesting. Hazael is a Gentile ruler. And Aram is a Gentile nation. They're not God's chosen people. Yet, God is sovereign, and he's choosing the leader there. And I find comfort in that today. Because I look at the world falling apart and I'm saying, how did these leaders get into positions, whether they're dictators or presidents or rulers, how did they get here? And I am comforted to know God's hand is in it all. And I may not understand it fully, but God has a plan. So I find some comfort in that. And he tells Elijah, go anoint him and then go also and anoint Jehu to be the king of Israel. And here God cares about his chosen people, Israel, but they've been so disobedient. But God hasn't taken his eyes off of them, and so he wants a king anointed there. And then finally, go and anoint Elisha to take your role. He's going to be the one to take your role in your ministry. I want you to anoint him. And so as I listen to what's been happening on the leadership team, Larry has taken some time, going on sabbatical, saying, God, what's next? And God's saying, this is the season. Retirement is not necessarily retirement, just giving up. Retirement is saying, God, you have something in store for us in the future, and we want to walk in that. And that's where Elijah was. And so he comes back, and here in verse 19 of chapter 19 in 1 Kings, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen, and he found, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. And Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Now, just to give you a little bit of context here, 12 yoke of oxen, that's 24 animals. And Elisha himself's not driving all of these. He's part of this team that's out in the field, plowing the field. He has his own set, two oxen in the yokes there, and he's plowing. And it's kind of like in my office at Blainsport, I look out past a graveyard, and there's 35 to 40 acres of land. And come springtime, the equipment moves in, and the manure spreaders go. And then there's the plows that go afterwards. You know, it might be a 5 to 8 bottom plow behind, and they're chiseling up the land. And then there's the disc behind that and the planters. And I'll tell you what, in half a day, they're taking care of that field. It's planted. It's ready for the spring. And that's this team of plowers, plowmen, that Elijah is part of. He's driving the 12th pair, and they would line up, and they would only have a one bottom plow, maybe a two bottom plow, and they'd go along, and they'd go in tandem, and they'd be following one another, plowing up the land. And so he was part of this team. He's a businessman. He's an earth mover and a businessman. And so he has something going here. He owns his own equipment, and this is a pretty big surprise to him when Elijah comes up to Elisha and puts his cloak on him. In your version, it may say his mantle. Put a mantle on him. And this cloak is symbolic of a ministry. He's putting his ministry onto Elisha. This is a way of anointing him. This is the way of saying, this is what God has in store for you. There's a ministry coming for you. And so that day, Elisha receives that cloak, and something is going to happen here. And I think when God makes a change in ministry, it's significant and it's unmistakable. I don't think Elijah had any question what that meant. It wasn't that, well, Elijah must think that I'm cold and he's putting a coat on me. No, Elisha knew what this meant, that cloak meant I was going to have a ministry. And so with Larry and Tony, seems like Larry symbolically put this cloak on Tony, and Tony felt the weight of that. He knew what it meant. He was very clear. God was very clear to both of them in this whole process. And then in verse 20, Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. This sounds familiar. I think in the Gospels we hear that. Jesus calls some folks to follow him, and they said, no, we have some stuff going on. We got to go back, and I'm getting married, or I want to bury the dead and want to at least say goodbye to my family. And Jesus says, oh, don't bother. Don't bother following me. You go do your stuff, you know. But that's not the same thing that's happening here. Elijah is going away, and when Elisha comes, Elisha's coming, he feels the weight of this ministry, and he says, let me make preparation. I'm coming. I'm committed. But I have some things to take care of. I have a business. I have my family. And so when God brings change in ministry, there may be anxious thoughts that come along with it. And I think there's some anxious thoughts that Larry may have. What is that next thing that I need to do? But there's anxious thoughts that Tony has. I've got to leave what I'm currently doing. My family is going to experience something different. You see, Tony can go to work now, and he knows exactly how to run the equipment. You know, there's a problem that comes up, you know what to do. But when you come to a ministry role, it's kind of new. And what do I do when there's a rock that I hit? What do I do when things aren't going quite the way that I thought they should be? And so there's some anxiety there, I think, on Tony's part, too. Because when God brings that ministry change, there's some concern, there's some anxiety. And I know as a congregation, you'll feel it too. What does this mean for us? Tony is not Larry. And so what will this mean for us? We're so used to things humming along because Larry has things just organized and we know how things are going to happen. But Tony might come along and things might look a little bit different. And I wonder in your hearts today if you can say, that's more than okay. That's good. God, we want to follow you where you're going. We weren't just following Larry. We were following you. And so I know there could be those anxious thoughts because I had gone through that. Back at Blainsport, I was associate pastor for 10 years. And Cheryl and I were wrestling through, what do we do next? We felt this call of God, and we're saying, what's next for us? And I really started to dig into Dallas Theological Seminary, moving to Texas. And we prayed about it, and we felt, hey, this could be the direction that we're going. And so Cheryl and I, we were ready to pack up, sell everything, and move to Texas and really focus in on ministry. And then for some reason, Jim and his wife, Nancy, that was our lead pastor, came to us and said, we see something that God's doing in your life. And they took that cloak and they placed it on our shoulders that night. And all of a sudden, everything changed. And there was a peace that started to flow with this. And we knew this is where God wanted us. Yet there were those anxious thoughts because I didn't know what this would mean here at Blainsport. I was feeling kind of a call to go to seminary. And I eventually did take care of seminary. I didn't go to Dallas. I went to Lancaster instead. It was a little bit closer. But anyway, there was this anxiety. What do we do with this? And so Larry and Tony are feeling that. The leadership team is feeling it, and you're feeling it. And it's natural. We go on here in verse 21. So Elisha left him and went back, and he took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. Wow. Elisha saying, I'm committed. I'm committed. He must be committed. He takes his livelihood. He takes the wood of the yoke and he starts a fire and he slaughters the oxen and he feeds the community. And there's no going back. There's no going back. This is a full commitment. And as I've talked to Tony, I've heard this full commitment. And it's from the family. Teresa, you're part of this too. I mean, there's a full commitment. It's I'm leaving my job. I'm giving them advance notice. I'm leaving, but it's going. That you're going to be going from there. And wow. When the leadership team agreed together, as they prayed together, they're saying, yes, we are going to respond to God's call as Tony responded to God's call. The leadership council then, they talked together and they responded to God's call just as Tony and Larry had. And now as a congregation, you're being asked, will you respond to God's call? Will you say, yes, Lord? We see this all falling into place. Yes, We're going to burn the yoke. We're going to cook up the oxen. What will that mean for us? And what I think it means is you have to let go of some things and free Tony to lead as he leads, free Larry to be released from ministry. I want to turn over to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, Elisha has been walking with Elijah for some time and serving together. He's learning. And all of a sudden, Elijah is taken up. He's taken up to glory. Just out of the blue, he is taken up. The chariots and horsemen come and they take him away. And he goes and there stands Elisha by himself. Now, here's the good news. Larry's not just being taken up. At least we're praying that you're not just taken up. Larry's not just going to be, there's a plan here. But here for Elisha, he looks and Elijah's gone. And there on the ground lays the cloak, that mantle. And so Elisha, he picks up Elijah's cloak in verse 13 of chapter 2, 2 Kings. He takes up the cloak that had fallen from him. And he went back and he stood on the bank of the Jordan. And he took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. And the company of prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The Spirit of the Lord is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him, and they bowed to the ground before him. So they see, the prophets see, God has now placed his Spirit on Elisha. And I love what A.W. Tozer used to say. He said, it takes more than a ballot to make a leader. It takes more than a ballot to make a leader. And in our context, it takes more than an affirmation ballot to make a pastor. And while Larry had introduced that we're going to ask the congregation to affirm Tony in this role and to affirm this process, we realize that it's not that ballot alone, it's not our decision alone that makes a pastor, but it's the Holy Spirit on the individual person. It was the Holy Spirit on Larry that made him into the pastor that he was. It wasn't Larry by himself. It's the Holy Spirit on Tony that will make him the pastor that he needs to be for this congregation during this season, not what Tony can do. Matter of fact, I think you might be astounded, Tony, as God gifts you, as God uses you, you're going to be a changed person in this role. It's not us that we do these things on our own. It wasn't Elijah. It wasn't Elisha. It was the Spirit of God on them. And we want to see the Spirit of God at work on Tony as he was on Larry. In 2 Chronicles 16, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He's looking for your commitment, Tony, your total commitment. For each of us, he's looking for our total commitment. His eyes are looking throughout the world to find those individuals to say, "I am fully on board with you, Lord. I'm fully with you. Whatever you say, wherever you go, I'm there with you." And so the Lord is looking for that sort of leader. It's not a leader who can get to the best seminars and come back and, "Hey, I feel equipped now because I got a leadership seminar under my belt." No, he's looking for that leader who says, "Yes, Lord, wherever you go. And when you ask me to do the tough things, I want to tell you right now, I'll obey you no matter what you ask me to do." And I've been hearing that from Tony. As I've been able to meet together with Larry and Tony for some breakfast, and I'm hearing Tony say, "Yeah, that's where I am. I want what God wants for this congregation. I want to lead as God wants me to lead." But now get this, as we look at verse 16. "Look," they said, this is the prophets, "we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley." No, Elisha replied, do not send them. But they persisted until he was too embarrassed to refuse. So he said, send them. And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days, but did not find him. When they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, didn't I tell you not to go? And here's the deal for us. We're going to want to be like these prophets and keep looking for Larry. We're going to keep wanting to check in with Larry. Larry, what do you think about this direction that Tony's suggesting, or the leadership team under Tony's leadership is suggesting? Larry, we need to hear more from you. We want to hear more from you. You're familiar, and boy, oh boy, aren't we saying to the Lord, we're rejecting who you've called into leadership? I felt that as Jim retired from his role at Blainsport, and he stayed on the team as associate pastor. And there'd be so many times that people would go to Jim to talk about whether it was counseling or some other things. They would go to Jim instead of me, and I felt it. And I was a good Christian leader, and I said, well, praise the Lord, as long as their needs are being taken care of. But inwardly, I'm feeling they're rejecting me. They're pushing me aside. And here's what they were trying to do. They wanted to look for Elijah because they weren't ready for Elisha. Even though they knew God was calling Elisha, they were looking for him. And I felt that as when I took that lead pastor role. And I just want to speak to you, just eyeball to eyeball here as a congregation. Be careful. We love Larry. Larry has done many great things in his congregation. He's led us to this place. And we just want to cling on to Larry and say, stay with us. Because he's familiar. Because we know Larry that well. But I got to tell you, leave room for Tony to grow. Leave room for Tony to make mistakes. Leave room for Tony that you ask him some questions instead of just going back to Larry. And that's a tough one to do. And Tony's not going to complain. You go back to Larry, he's not going to say, hey, over here, I'm the guy. Give me your attention. No, he's not going to be that guy because he's a good man. But I just want you to know how it does feel. It kind of feels like I'm rejecting you. And we want to be careful as a congregation. We're not rejecting Tony. We're embracing Tony. And so for you and I, we need to come together and lift Tony up. We need to come alongside of Tony at times when he's inexperienced to walk with him and be patient with him. Yes, Larry's going to still be on the leadership team. He's going to be there as associate pastor for some time, but at 66.5 years of age, he's planning to be retired, and he wants to be part of this congregation. It would be both a gift to Larry and to Tony if you and I can make that transition as well, to allow Tony to then take that mantle, that cloak, and run with it. So there's a few steps that we need to take here, and then I'm going to close. We do want to pray for its church and its leaders. Tony's not by himself. There's a team, and he has a solid team with him. So trust in that team as a whole. I know Larry leaned on the advice of his team, as will Tony. So pray for your leaders. Pray for wisdom in discerning God's voice. As you're going to be asked for an affirmation, be praying now. Be asking God now, is this your direction? And God, if it is, we want to give you a yes, our full yes. During this time, from now through the end of the year, ask questions. Ask questions of the leadership team. Ask questions of me. Feel free to call me. I think my phone number or email is listed. Call me. Email me. I'd love to talk to you. What are your concerns, and how can we pray through them together? Let me walk with you. You're not alone. In fact, I am so thrilled with this process in this congregation because there are so many congregations that don't prepare. And here you're preparing. And I can speak into it early instead of late. So I'm happy. I'm happy to walk with you. The bulletin lays some things out, and Larry's going to tell you a little bit more about some dates. But make sure that we hit some dates. There will be a time for affirmation ballots at the beginning of next year, that you'll have a couple weeks to fill those out and get them back. And by the end of January, you'll know where you're headed. Larry has built plenty of room into this plan to make sure it's flexible and make sure it can keep moving forward. And when that affirmation comes in, Larry and Tony will start, as they're already doing. They're meeting together, they're talking together, but they're going to start the transition. I know it's still a year out, it's still a while out, but they're going to start. And Larry is going to start taking Tony along on some more visits or some additional things, and he's going to have him in the office and showing him some of the ropes. So there's plenty of other preparation that's taking place until that final date in November when the transition fully happens. And as they experience this change, please realize that they're dealing with some loss themselves. Larry's losing something, and as he watches Tony do things maybe a little bit differently, he's going to be a supporter. He doesn't want to be this negative guy. No, you can't. He's going to be a supporter, and Tony's losing this sure job. You know, I he knows he can go to work now and come home in the evenings, and that's it. He loses that. When you become a pastor, I don't think I'm ever off the clock, am I? I mean, we don't clock out. It could be middle of the night. It could be any time. And in fact, just last night, as I was thinking about this message, I do while I sleep. You know, the Lord's saying, "Hey, maybe you want to say this," and so I made some adjustments. You don't get it. You don't get time off. I mean, this is really. And you get vacation, and you'll take time, sabbatical. But you know what I'm saying. There's this deliberate. So please know, this is a transition for all the church, and I look forward to these months, these weeks, these months ahead, as we make this transition. So I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for Larry and Tony, as I close here. Father, thank you. Thank you for the responsible way in the change of leadership here. Lord, as Tony was called back some time ago as associate pastor, now he feels you're leading in a new direction. And I ask that you would continue to give him that peace, give him that assurance as he steps forward. And for Larry to be so visionary in saying, "I want to be part of equipping the next generation of leaders, not to just hold on to what I got, but to be able to live with open hands, saying, Lord, you take what I have and you use it as you will." And so, Lord, I thank you for Larry's humility and his good service here at Bowmansville, bringing stability, bringing a vision which was only given to him through you and through the team. You've used the team. I do pray for the leadership team as they continue to work together, continue to raise up even future leaders as we look to the associate role in 2023. Lord, I ask that you would allow that leader even now to feel in his heart that you're directing him and leading him. And Lord, for this congregation, I thank you for these dear brothers and sisters who desire to do your work and will in this community. Lord, I know who they are, and I know that they will be supportive. But I ask that as they have anxieties that come up, concerns that come up, that they will, in a healthy way, share those concerns, share those anxieties, share the fears, even share the loss of losing Larry, who has served here so long. Lord, we realize that you're positioning us here in this community for the future. And there is a harvest ahead of us, maybe like we've never seen. So Lord, use this church. Equip them through their leaders. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tony, would you come up at this time and share a bit?
Well, thank you, Eric, for your message, your encouragement. So Larry and Carl presented me with Larry's retirement timeline a while ago. It was 2018. And Teresa and I spent a lot of time, months, in prayer, discerning what God wanted us to do, what His call was, what He was calling us to. See, the natural progression would be for Larry to retire and then me to take over the role. That would be what we all would assume would happen, that the associate would take over the lead role. The obligation would be for the associate pastor to take over for the lead pastor. And this is how we naturally think, because in business and other places, you groom the next leader to take over. In a family business, you're grooming the next generation to take over for you when you retire. We, Teresa and I, are not going to do something that is not God's will, just because there's a certain expectation or obligation that would go along with that role. And this is kind of the short explanation of the call we received through lots of prayer. Teresa was reading the same passage of scripture that she was reading when she got the affirmation for me to be associate pastor. It was the same chapter. It wasn't necessarily the same verses, but it was in the same chapter. And God spoke to her that He was calling us to the full-time role. And this happened very quickly for her. It's kind of switched from when I became the associate pastor. I kind of knew where God was leading us. God was calling me to this role of associate pastor, and it took time for Teresa to receive that same call. Well, this time it's kind of reversed. Teresa got this call very quickly, and I'm spending time praying and trying to listen for God, and it's just wasn't receiving anything. God, are you calling me to this full-time role to take over for Larry? I just wasn't receiving anything. And then one day while I was at work driving truck, I was singing along to the radio like I usually do, or sometimes the radio is not even on, and I was praying. I was asking God, are you calling me to this role? And I got a one-word answer. It was yes. I didn't hear it in my ears, but I heard it. It was yes. I just couldn't stop smiling. I had this joy of the Lord in my heart, and that's only from God. So we're not saying yes out of obligation or progression, what would be the natural progression to take over. We believe that God is calling us to this role, and we would not be filling this position if we did not believe that. Because you can't do anything without God's leading or guidance. And this brings us to where we're at this morning, of Larry showing his timeline, and it feels good to be able to talk about it now because we've known about it for a while, we've been processing it, and so it feels good to be able to talk about it with you. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask, and we will openly talk to you about them. So whoever's next, if it's Larry, I'll invite you forward.
There we go. Just want to encourage you, yes, on the bottom of the page where the timeline is listed in the bulletin, you're invited to ask questions, share your concerns, share your counsel. We'll be receiving that, anyone in the pastoral team, to Eric through the end of this year to December 31st. And then during the first week of January next year, affirmation ballots will be sent out for you to affirm this transition, this process that's taking place. So I just want to thank Eric, because as I sit, as Tony and I sit and listen to Eric sharing his personal experiences of what he experienced when he stepped into the lead pastor role from associate pastor. I mean, it'll be reversed for me. But Eric is a godsend because he provokes us to think, not provokes us to be angry, provokes us to think about things that the dynamics of what's taking place or is proposed to take place in the future. So thank you, Eric, for your role in meeting with Tony and I and the counsel and the wisdom that you inject into our conversations. So yes, please, if you have any questions, concerns, counsel, share it with the pastoral team or with Eric till the end of this year. So would you come and lead us in a closing song?
These are the days of Elijah. I just invite you to stand as we think about the Holy Times.
Good morning. Just a couple of quick announcements. If you've seen in the last couple of weeks some of the pastor team members saying thank you, and I verbally, on behalf of Sheila and myself, thank you for all the cards and encouragement and everything else that we receive for pastor appreciation and everything else. So thank you. As you saw and heard today, your continued support and encouragement are greatly needed for all. I also want to call to your attention what would have been received in your mailboxes, and highlighting that on Tuesday, November 16th, so that's 2 weeks from this Tuesday, is our fall members meeting, and we are required, according to our bylaws, to make sure this document is in your hands by today, and this is to give you time to see. We are proposing a budget for next year, and there's going to be a few changes. Obviously, we're looking to see about possibly replacing the furnace, replacing or redoing the kitchen, a few other things. Also, as you've heard, transition to pastor roles and everything else. So we want you to take the time to look through this. If you have any questions, my phone number's in the bulletin. Please don't hesitate to call and ask. More answers will be given that night, but what we've tried to do is try to keep the budget the same, yet maybe shift some dollars from here to there to take care of things. So please make sure you take the time to review. Let me know if you have any questions ahead of time, and please come November 16th. Thank you.
So Tony reminded me that also part of this process will be him appearing before the Credentialing Commission of Lancaster Mennonite Conference. So that'll take place before congregational affirmation, because you don't want to affirm him, and then he goes to the Credentialing Commission and they say, no, 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 no. So that wouldn't be good. Just a couple of announcements. A reminder, the shoeboxes are in the front foyer, bottom of the steps also, to fill a shoebox for a gift, Christmas gift for a child somewhere around the world. There's some gifts or boxes there. Please take a few and fill them up. Return them by November the 14th. I think that's the date of collection. Also, next Sunday is Stewardship Sunday. Sheldon will be teaching Sunday school stewardship, some practical application of spiritual principles. Then I'll be bringing the message next Sunday. And also, this is the last Sunday of the month. So the children are invited to come and guess how much the dollar amount of the coins have been collected from my coins count throughout the month. Next week's Sunday school lesson will also be live streamed. Thank you. Okay, would you stand to receive this benediction? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.